The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Great to see you this afternoon. I don't know how many of you have experienced one of the more uncomfortable times for me as not just a pastor, but now as an itinerant preacher, is getting to the end of the service of some place that I've preached, and the pastor closing the service by saying, now, after we close, Brother Shaddix will be back in the foyer for you to greet as you leave. And as the prayer is being prayed, the pastor escorts me back to the foyer, and there we wait for the benediction to finish. And once we finish, the people begin to file out one by one, greeting me, greeting the pastor, giving words of encouragement. Now, the chances are some of you are the pastor in that story. You've practiced that. I grew up in churches where that was the practice. Probably there have been times in my ministry where I've done that, and there isn't anything wrong with that. But one of the issues in my estimation of that is most uncomfortable is that is the only place some guys get feedback on their sermons. And if you've ever done that, or maybe you do that on a regular basis, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The folks come by and inevitably there's just a repertoire of a few things you can say, because there's only so many things you can say. Good message, Pastor. The one that's always confusing for me, thank you for your service. And they're talking about the worship service. Enjoyed your sermon. Thank you. One of the things that grieves me the most is that some men, and it's mostly the men, they don't even know what to say, at that point. They just kind of walk by, and maybe stick out their hand like that. But I'm burdened that a pastor's feedback on his preaching sometimes is limited to that, really as one extreme. There is another extreme, and that is the other extreme is the guy that sends you an email every week hating on your preaching and really calling into question your calling and wanting you to call into question whether this is something you've been called to do. And my experience tells me that is, on one of those extremes, is the only feedback that a lot of pastors get in their preaching. It's the people going out the back door that are telling you, by implication, you're the next Billy Graham. Every week is just good sermon, and thank you for that, and that was wonderful, and that blessed me. And certainly some of it, sincere. Or the other extreme of somebody that's just really telling you everything that you did wrong. Most pastors never get any, and this is the operative word, objective feedback on their preaching. And I'm convinced that if we don't get objective feedback on our preaching, we're not going to grow in our preaching. We're not going to be helped. We're not going to be strengthened to progress and take steps in our preaching. So that's what I want us to think about. Is I want us to think about how do we get objective, and that's the key word. That's the key word. Chuck Register and I were talking downstairs, and he said, "Well, what are you going to teach on?" And I said, "I'm going to talk about getting objective feedback on your sermon." And he looked at me and he said, "Doesn't that come naturally?" Well, what he's talking about, the foyer, or he's talking about the email, which is what most of us get, and the only thing we get. And I told him, I said, "Chuck, the operative word is objective. That's what we're after." And what I want to talk to you about is how do you be intentional about getting objective feedback on your preaching? Just out of curiosity, how many of you have a plan in place, an intentional plan in place to get feedback, objective feedback on your sermons? Let me see. How many pastors in here preach regularly? All right. Okay. All right. So that tells you. This is just something that we're, I don't think that we're as intentional about as we need be. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes we don't get objective feedback because we don't want objective feedback. We put our heads on our pillows at night. We're really, really not wanting to know what people are thinking about our preaching. because really that's our concern, is just, you know, what people think about our preaching, as opposed to whether or not we're growing in our preaching. So I want to challenge you as preachers, as pastors this afternoon, to be intentional. This is the bottom line. If this is the big idea, you know, if there's a big idea in the sermon, this is the big idea of this breakout session, and that is that we need to be intentional about getting objective feedback on our preaching if, in fact, we are going to grow, we're going to progress in our preaching. So if you look at that listening guide there, we'll just walk down. Basically, everything I want to say to you is on that one page. And then there is some stuff, I think, on the back of that page that is just resource information. It doesn't have any blanks to fill in. We're probably not going to have time to go through all of that, but I wanted you to have it, because I think it's helpful as far as maybe leaning in even a little bit more. But I want to address three big picture things that I think will help to some degree us begin to set in motion being intentional about getting objective feedback. And so we're going to talk about developing an intentional plan. Operative word is intentional. Finding objective evaluators. Intentional word is objective. And then fostering a good attitude. And the operative word there is good. So let's take each of these big pictures and walk through them. Developing an intentional plan. How do you go about, you know, practically getting feedback? Well, the first place I would tell you is a place that's kind of built in to some of your ministries, not all of yours, and that's to use your staff team. How many pastors here have multiple staff? You're not the only staff member. All right. There's a number of you in here. A number of you would be single staff pastors. You are the only, you know, person on the staff. This one would not necessarily apply to you. But if you are the pastor of a multi-staff church, then you've got a built-in starting place. And I'm not going to tell you that it is the best place, but I'm going to tell you it is a starting place. I think staff teams that you're working with, you're partnered with, you're locking arms with, can, if led right, can be helpful in giving you some feedback. When I was a pastor in Denver, my last senior pastorate, had multiple staff there. This was a part of our weekly staff meeting, where we would just take time to evaluate the whole of the worship service, but then also the preaching portion of the worship service. Now, I'll be honest with you, at the first, it was like pulling teeth. And this is one of the reasons that this is, you know, maybe not the best scenario. It's a built-in scenario, but you have to understand the limitations. You're asking for people that look to you as their boss, you know, for critique, for them to, you know, to evaluate you. And it's not this undercover boss thing that you see on television where you go in by stealth and disguise and trick them into giving you feedback. You know, they know who you are. You know who they are. They know that you're the lead person. And so sometimes there are limitations to that. You have to shepherd them, but they're there. They hear you preach every week. They are partners with you in the ministry of the gospel. And so led rightly, I think this can be a place to start with as far as getting some feedback. There are some things that you need to be careful that you don't do. You don't feel like anytime somebody gives you feedback that you solicit that you have to respond to that. We're pretty good at that. Somebody gives us some critique and we've got an excuse for it. Oh, well, this is what I was trying to do, or this is what, you know, you didn't hear. And so you'll stifle your staff's ability to give you objective feedback if you've got a response for everything and you've got an excuse for everything. Another thing you don't want to do is you don't want to resent what someone says. If you open it up for them to give you critique and to give you feedback, then you need to man up and take it and not let there be any carryover of that. Doesn't mean that everything that everybody says is always accurate, But if we'll listen carefully and we won't harbor any resentment for that, we can, you know, and we'll nurture an atmosphere for openness and helpfulness. There's some things that, you know, that we can learn there. So you can start with a staff team, shepherd them to know that there is the freedom for them to give it, that you want to grow. Show yourself as being teachable and wanting to progress in your ministry and your preaching. Use your staff team. Single staff pastors or pastors of multi-staff churches, use your church members. Use your church members. This may be the best place for us to go. Why? Because those are the people that are listening to you preach every week. Those are the people that come Sunday after Sunday and are hearing your sermon. They probably know more about your preaching than maybe some of your staff members. They do if they've been listening to you longer, and maybe some of your staff haven't been there as long. There are people in your congregation, and I think it's safe to say just about every congregation. We're going to talk in the next section about what kinds of people you look for. But just be aware that when we're talking about getting feedback on sermons, obviously the people going out the back door are your church members. But remember, that is not a venue. It's not a context. It's not something you're doing intentional. I'm talking about using maybe some of those same people that sit and listen to you preach, but using them intentionally to get feedback on your sermons. Again, these are people that, number one, they know more about your preaching than anybody else because they listen to you every week. And number two, and listen to this, these are the people you're preaching to. These are the people that you're targeting, that you want to speak God's word to. This is what, and so there may not be anybody better to be able to help you and give you feedback. I gave you a sermon feedback guide that I have used for years. Not just in the classroom, but also in other contexts. Some of those contexts, even evaluating me. When I was a teaching pastor at the church at Brook Hills with David Platt, every Tuesday in staff meeting, we did the same thing. And you know, we had a bunch of guys sitting around the table, and we would open, you know, critique of the sermon. Feedback from the sermon on those individuals, and we would use something like this right here. Used it in our elder meetings as well. The reason I mention this at this point is for a number of years as a seminary professor, I had one of these, but it didn't look like this because it was real technical, had a lot of big words to it, and one day it hit me that seminary students are not the guys that we're going to be preaching to on a regular basis. And so I went back and I tweaked this tool. I redid it, really, revamped it, rebirthed it, and tried to do it from the standpoint of the listener as opposed to the speaker. And it make it less seminary-ish and more lay friendly, and so I think that's a mentality that we've got to have in getting objective feedback. Is we got to think about, all right, what are the people hearing? What are the people that we're preaching to hearing? So, church members, use your co-laborers. Let's just take the scenario of somebody that is in a single staff church. And let's say, you know, we'll talk about it in the next session. In the section, you don't have anybody in your church that you really think meets the criteria of being able to give you some objective feedback. We'll talk about those criteria in just a second. Are you dead in the water? Are you on your own out there? Well, no, not necessarily. I think that all of us have co-laborers in the ministry, fellow pastors, guys in our association, guys of the pastors of the church down the street. Doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, within our denomination or our circle. even if you're in a context where you don't have access to other individuals like that, you've got the internet, you've got technology, we've got YouTube, we've got Vimeo. You can record a sermon on your smartphone, you know, just propping it up there. My point is, there are really not very many excuses anymore for us not to do this, because we've got too many ways to pull a group of guys together, or just another guy or two, and get feedback on sermons. So I would encourage you to start locally and see, are there some other brothers who would share the value of wanting to grow in their preaching? Now, again, this is, if you can't do this within in-house, you know, I think that's the best way to do it, because, again, those are the people that are hearing you on a regular basis. But to pull a group of guys that are preaching together and to evaluate a sermon, maybe one sermon a month, and this is your month, and everybody's going to watch your video, and then you're going to come together, and you're going to talk about it and walk through it and talk about strengths and weaknesses in the next month. Maybe you can do it on a weekly basis, or every 2 weeks or something. The next time it's another guy's turn, and you watch his video, and you come together and you talk about it. Use co-laborers in the Gospels. If you can't do this in-house in your church, find some other preachers that want to grow as well. And then use yourself. Some of you may end up in a situation where you are out in the bush in a third world country, and you're on your own. You've parachuted in, and it's just you and the nationals, you and the natives, and you're preaching the gospel to them. Once again, not many excuses technologically. You can set your iPhone up in the branch of a tree and record your sermon, and then come back and, as we'll talk about in a minute, be objective as you can be. These are kind of in, I wouldn't say decreasing order, because I'd probably put church members first, but I start with the staff because that's a built-in way. If I started with the church members, I would probably put these in decreasing order of effectiveness. Church members, staff teams, co-laborers, other guys that, you know, other preachers, and then yourself. But if you're the only one, I want to encourage you and challenge you, be intentional about evaluating your sermons. I don't watch by video every sermon I preach, but I try to watch a segment of some of them, do something where I pick out a segment, look at a segment, take a few minutes to look, and then I try to think through things that I try to get my students to think through, you know, in evaluating sermons. So use yourself. Yes, sir.
I'm surprised you didn't mention anything about spouse.
I was about to. Okay.
I guess some of the most objective, critical sermon you made that for a while.
All right. So you said something there. I was just about to say, some of you may notice someone that's not on this list. Okay. Because I want to respond to that. You said something interesting. You said, I get some of the most objective, critical feedback. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, she's honest about my strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
She said, well, you need to stop saying, she'll say, well, that illustration went kind of long, and you didn't take it home. Like, because she's been listening to my preaching for 14 years, and, she knows it better than I do, possibly.
All right, so here's my question, and the question may be, you may have a really good answer for it. You just gave two examples of things she said, and both of them are negative. Does your wife ever say, honey, this just, oh, yes, man, God used this, and, this was helpful when you did this,
yes,
right
here? I know she means it, because she would be honest with me enough to tell me otherwise.
Okay, all right. That's what I was hoping the answer was, but here's what I'll say. I think, by experience, you're the exception and not the rule. I think most spouses are on one extreme or the other. And what I mean by that, and I don't know, I'd love to hear from the rest of you, because I don't have a problem with you putting your spouse on this list. I would challenge you not to limit the feedback, because your wife is biased. Okay, she is biased, just like those staff members may be biased. So what I would say is, don't don't limit it to that. Now, my experience in talking with pastors is that spouses are one on one extreme or the other. They are very critical, and they tell their husband everything that they're doing wrong, and they're sincere in doing it. You know, they're not trying to be mean, but, you know, they see themselves as helping. Or the other extreme, and this is where my wife is, it's like pulling teeth to get her to say something, you know, negative. It was a wonderful sermon. You know, it was just good. You know, it's like the foyer thing going back there. You know, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I want it like that. But I've talked to a lot of pastors, and it seems like, you know, most wives lean one to the direction of the other. So question, how many of you's wives you think would fit into that category he's got are really objective, and they give you positive and negative? All right, there's a handful of you. Okay.
The thing is, with her, you don't have to ask her.
She's. It's kind of like that guy emailing you. Yeah. All right. How many of you, your spouse, you know, say she kind of leans on the heavy-handed? She wants me to get better, and so she's always showing me things I'm doing wrong. Anybody? That's not a negative. I'm not saying that's not a critical thing. All right. How many of you have wives like mine that they just, it's like pulling teeth to get them, you know, to say something? So, yeah. If your wife is objective, then include her in this. I would say be intentional. I would just say don't limit your feedback. I do think there are pastors who have wives who probably do give objective feedback like yours, but maybe they still are limiting feedback from their spouse, and they're not being intentional about getting it in a broader circle. Okay.
I sometimes have to fish it out of her.
Yeah.
But when I get it, it's
good. It's helpful. All right.
I would also often use my son. He's a teenager, so he's got a different perspective. He's got a different attention span.
Yeah.
He's got my stuff in front of him. He helps me tech stuff. My wife gives the great job, honey. You did an awesome job today. You know, that my son's like, Daddy. That joke fell flat.
Dad, don't ever wear that again. It's like, let me ask you this: is that an informal process? I mean, you just do that riding home Sunday, So, see, this is another thing, and it goes along with the spouses. And I think you're wise there in seeing the generational thing, the feedback there, and you get that. Here's what I would say: is be intentional. Be intentional, and it may. You know, you can do the same thing with children, teenagers that are not yours, you know, and other church members that are listening to you preach. Just be careful about limiting your feedback to that which is organic and is just kind of, you know, part of, your conversation. All right. Other questions about this? Anything else? Any other groups of people, types of people that ought to be on this list? I'm sorry? Deacons, church leaders, I would include that with church members. So I'm putting all those in the same bucket. But yeah, exactly right. Some leaders in your church. Yeah, so. And when we talk about this next section, we'll mention that. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Should you intentionally get someone who you know is going to be critical?
We're about to talk about that. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Let's jump into that next session. Finding, and again, here's the operative word, objective evaluators. What kind of people are you looking for when you're pulling a group together that you want to be intentional about? Now, make sure you understand the distinction in what I'm talking about here. Again, just what we talked about. You've got organic feedback. Natural feedback that may come with your spouse, it may come with your children. That's, you know, probably even a little healthier. But remember, the foyer feedback is organic as well. You're not soliciting that. You're not looking for it. You're not doing anything intentional to make sure it is objective. What we want to talk about now is, all right, how do we do our best to make sure the feedback that we're getting is intentional? First of all, enlist people who are for you, okay? I wish we lived in a perfect world, and I could sit here and assume that every one of you pastor churches where everybody in your congregation is for you. That's just usually not the case. It's not reality. There are those people that are going to hate on everything you do, as hard as you try, and as, you know, you're putting your best foot forward, they're still going to step on it, and you want to look for people in your congregation I'm not talking about people who are on the other end of the spectrum and they're just going to tell you what you want to know every time. I'm talking about people who are, they want to see you lead well. They want to see you grow. They want to see you progress in all aspects of your ministry. They're on your side. And I'm not talking about they're just on your side backing you up in everything and again saying what you want them to say. I'm talking about they have your best interest at heart. And they're fans, okay? And they love their pastor and they want the best, you know, for him. Look for people who are for you in your congregation. Those are people that you're going to have the best chance of leading to be objective evaluators. Enlist critical people. Now, these kind of overlap. You see the word critical has some quote marks in it there because I'm not talking about, obviously, people that are just hammering on you all the time and they're just always hypercritical and looking at the negative stuff. I'm talking about people who think through things. One of the things we're going to talk about is objectivity involves, you know, looking at strengths and looking at weaknesses. Well, in order for somebody to identify things in both categories, they've got to think critically. That's what we're talking about. So we're not talking about criticism. We're talking about people who are critical thinkers. They look at things and they size them up. They process them and they're looking at the good. They're looking at the bad. So look for critical people. Enlist godly people. Preaching is a spiritual event. We would all agree upon that. There's supernatural stuff happening. There is the assumption that you are approaching this as a godly man. At least you better be. And you're seeking the Lord and you're crying out for His Spirit to attend to your preaching. And the Spirit causes the Word to come alive. The Spirit is working with regard to anointing and unction on the preacher. He's working with regard to illumination and conviction in the listeners. There is spiritual stuff that is going on in here. Consequently, when we move into the realm of beginning to critique that, and by the way, this is why I know some preachers who say, I'm not going to have any critique. I'm not going to critique my messages. Don't want anybody critiquing my messages because this is the Spirit of God that is, you know, that is moving. I understand all of that. This is a supernatural thing. But I think we can make it, let it continue to be a spiritual thing with regard to growing in our preaching if we approach the critique from a spiritual standpoint. And so I think that it means we want people that are looking and thinking through a lens of righteousness and godliness and holiness at our sermons. We want them to be speaking into. Don't you want people that are led by the Spirit of God to be helping you to grow? By the way, I was just doing a video interview with some of the guys from the convention, and one of the questions that they asked me is, why should a leader, and we weren't talking about preaching, but why should a leader want to get feedback on his ministry and have people speaking into it? And the first thing I told him is because of our depravity. We are depraved individuals. We still live in fleshly bodies. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, but we still live in these bodies of flesh that are constantly pulling against the Spirit. We know this theologically. We know it practically. When God trusted errant, fallible, natural men with the handling of His inerrant, infallible, supernatural Word, that is a train wreck waiting to happen. And consequently, even in our sermon preparation, what are we doing? We're looking for ways to reduce the subjectivity, to reduce our, you know, the chance of us bringing our natural selves to the process. Well, I think we need to think about the same thing in evaluation. It doesn't mean we're going to find perfect people. We're not perfect. Nobody in our congregation is perfect. But we want to look for godly people to speak into our lives, and we want to hear their counsel. So look for godly people, enlist godly people to help you, enlist faithful people. I don't think the guy that's just popping in and out, Even if he is your golfing buddy or your hunting buddy or a guy that, you know, you're trying to kind of bring from the fringes into the fold of the more committed, but you know, he's there inconsistently and he shows up for a couple of Sundays and then he's gone, or and then he's back for three Sundays and then he misses four Sundays. I don't think that guy is going to bring near as much to the table in giving you input and feedback on your sermon than the person that is sitting there every week, week in, week out, listening to you preach. Now, just because they're every week doesn't mean they're godly. It doesn't mean they're for you. That's why we talked about, you know, those other things. But as we move on down the list, you want to think about, you know, the people that are they're at least invested in what you're doing as a pastor and what you're doing as a church. So enlist faithful people and then enlist teachable people. I don't think that we're going to be able to really be intentional about formulating a group of people to give us objective feedback without us shepherding them and helping them. Great opportunity to help a group of people learn more about preaching and learn maybe some things to listen for, look for, that may not just be the first things on their mind. You're going to need to shepherd them. And consequently, if they're going to be led and be shepherded, they're going to need to be teachable people. When I think about finding young men to mentor and to pour into, this is one of the primary qualities and characteristics that I look for. It's not, do they just know the Bible backwards and forwards? It's not even, does this person just really have a giftedness in public speaking? I want to look to see, are they humble? Do they have a humble spirit? And I teach, but it doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are. I know 80-year-old men that know the Bible backwards and forwards and been teaching Sunday school for 40 or 50 years that aren't teachable. And then I know some guys that, you know, just got saved 2 or 3 weeks ago that don't know anything about the Bible and don't have any experience, but they want to learn and they know they have something to learn. You want to look for teachable people. Now, perfect world, you want to take that whole list there. People who are for you, critical people, godly people, faithful people, teachable people. If you can find somebody that has all of those qualities and characteristics, that's perfect world. That's best. Chances are there may be some of those things on the list that they're growing in and moving in that direction, but they're not quite there. You just want to use spiritual discernment in the people that you pull together to form a team that is going to help you get feedback. Now, one of the things, and this is not a separate section on here, but we'll address it right here, is, okay, well, what does this look like? I think there's 100 different ways that this could look. It may be something that you enlist a group of people and shepherd a group of people to do on a weekly basis. Probably have a better chance of doing that with your staff team if you have one in a weekly staff meeting. It certainly can be done with a group of people in your congregation, you know, to pull them together and put a system together of doing this on a weekly basis. It's probably more realistic to think about this as something that you do on a monthly basis, or maybe, you know, every other week. Because of schedules and other responsibilities. But basically what I'm talking about is having a group that you resource them, with regard to how to, you know, to listen to your sermons, how to record ideas, how to record things, that they want to give you feedback in. Best case scenario is not just, you know, getting that individually, but pulling that group together. And talking about it and you walking them through with some specific questions, that type of thing. This is what we do and what we call at Southeastern, a Bible Expo 2 course. Some of you took courses in seminary that may have been called Sermon Delivery or Preaching Practicum. It's the course where students actually preach to the class and we give them feedback. Again, that's a controlled environment. It's not a live situation, you know, and like you would in a worship service. We require them and assign them to do that as well. But in the classroom, students will preach. We'll use that tool there. And then, you know, after a student preaches, we'll let, you know, we'll let the class talk to them, give them feedback. And I do it intentionally. If you'll see on that sheet on the back side of it, that the form actually ends with two columns. A column on the left is three things to keep, and the column on the right is three things to throw away. You know, so here's some strengths, some positives. Here's some things to work on. A lot of students come into a class like that intimidated because they're going to preach to their classmates, they're preaching to seminary students, they're preaching to a professor. But 99.9% of the time, they walk out of that class greatly encouraged and helped. And I think the reason for that is because there's been some intentionality in leading people to know how to give feedback and how to dialogue and how to be Christian when they're doing that, and how to look for positives and look for negatives as well in the preaching event. So we use that sheet. They fill it out while somebody's preaching. But then when we get to the discussion, you know, I start it off and I will just ask them, all right, let's talk, you know, to Bob over here about some things to keep. And for a few minutes, we just love on that guy, you know, and encourage him. It may have been his first time to preach. But when you're being critical, you can always find some things that, you know, that are positive. And we want to note those things. Well, you want to train your people to do that. And you want to train them to know why that is helpful, you know, and why that is needful, that sermon feedback is not just the negative. But after a little bit, we'll change gears and I'll say, all right, let's talk about some things for Bob to throw away. And you know, the brothers in that class will share some things. Hey, man, I noticed you did this, and that kind of, you know, diverted my attention for a minute. So you might want to think about it. I noticed your voice was just constantly way up here, or maybe it was all the time way down here. And so we'll identify some things for him to do. And when you do it intentionally, you do it objectively, there's always going to be some helpfulness in that, even with the negative stuff. The negative stuff is not, man, you're an awful preacher. And see, you want to help your people know this. People you train to do this. You want to help them to know. You want to hear the stuff, that because what you're wanting to do is work on some stuff. You're wanting to refine some stuff. You're wanting to, you know, to get better at some stuff. So you shepherd your people in doing that. You just want to make sure you've got the right kind of people and people that are going to be able to do that kind of thing. Questions, comments on that second section there? We've got to wrap this up pretty quick. Yes, sir.
Do you think it's good to rotate that team so it's always the same ones?
I wouldn't suggest you rotate it on a weekly basis or a different group every month. I would work with one group for a while, but it may be, I'm just going to throw a number out there. So you use the same group for a year and then you enlist some new people. One of the cool things about this is it presents an automatic disciple-making leadership training venue for you as a pastor. Those people are not just helping you, but you're helping them. You're helping them love God's word more. You're helping them be better leaders. You're helping them to think more critically about the preaching event and how that can improve. So it's a disciple-making opportunity. So I would say yes, you know, include some others, but I wouldn't do that on a regular basis. Okay. Real quick on that last one, fostering a good attitude. Let me run through these real quick. But before I do, let me just tell you what I'm talking about. Your people that you train are going to take their cue for how to listen to sermons from you. And we can't take that lightly. You know why? Because we're not very good at listening to sermons as preachers. We're the most critical people in the world. Why? Because we're always comparing ourselves to that preacher. So make sure that you've got the right attitude. Listen first for a word from God. I tell this to our classes at seminary in that Bible Expo 2 course. I tell them our first order of business here is not to critique a sermon. Our first order of business is to hear from God, because we're going to have some brothers standing up here preaching God's word to us. Lots of fun. Be able to take a course, lead a course where it's just preaching. That's a blast. But we need to remember that we're hearing, and you want your people to know that. You want to do that as you listen to sermons. Desire your own improvement. Most of us, when we're listening to others preach, we're not thinking about us growing and how that person might help us grow. Identify strengths and weaknesses. That is something I already mentioned there. Always be helpful and not hurtful as you give feedback to preaching. This is what you want your people to do. Exercise Christian courtesy and grace. We always want to look at this and approach it with the mind of Christ. Don't question second-order doctrines in sermon critique. It can get you sidetracked more than anything. You know, we need to evaluate content as well as delivery. But you don't want to get diverted by just by the fact that a guy you're listening to has a different view of the rapture than you do, or even the election predestination issue. Okay, don't get sidetracked by second order doctrine. If somebody's preaching heresy, you know, on a major doctrine of Scripture, yes, we need to critique that. You know, we need to help that brother get past that. You know. But second order stuff, you completely undermine your opportunity in doing feedback. And then pray for the preachers that you critique. Pray for God's help. Pray for God's work in their lives. That will make you have a better attitude to this. And people will take their cue from you in how you critique sermons. Yes, sir. Verse 2, listen first for a word from God. Desire your own improvement. You just run through the others. I know I went through them fast. Identify strengths and weaknesses. Be helpful, not hurtful. Exercise Christian courtesy and grace. Don't question second order doctrine. And pray for the preachers you critique. Guys, we got 15 minutes in between the sessions, so I'm going to be hanging around. Some of you have some questions or want to chat about something, be glad to do that. Thank you again for being a part of this. God bless you as you preach God's Word and as you improve in preaching God's Word.